Do you know what I use to record these podcasts? It's Anchor by Spotify. It's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or a computer. It's all really, really easy. It's all really intuitive. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. It's everything you need to make a podcast. I've been a little bit critical over the last few years about the Indianapolis Colts drafting Quentin Nelson, a left guard, with the 6th overall pick in 2018. I said, you know, you can get guards a dime a dozen. And you can. I'm going to tell you why I was wrong. This is Inside Indiana Sports Now with Kent Sterling. For Thursday, December 2nd, 2021, we're brought to you by the great people at Today's Dentistry. Dr. Mike O'Neill, the best dentist that there is. Give him a call, 317-849-2933. When we get injury news, the injury report, we will share it with you. It has not been released yet, but we got to get going. We got a time where we got to hit the airwaves, or what are we doing, right? We can't be held hostage by the release time of the injury report. We'll share that with you when we get it. Hard Knocks last night. How about Quentin Nelson? Hey, coach, if defense gets a stop, can we get a straight run called for Jonathan Taylor? That's Quentin Nelson. And then they show a clip of Jonathan and Quentin Nelson talking. Really, it's Quentin Nelson talking. Talking to Jonathan Taylor about how special he is and how he's going to get the ball and they're going to open holes for him and let's go play Colts football. When you've got a leader like this, when you've got a leader on the sidelines who isn't just processing, hey, here's what I got to do, here's my responsibility, you got a guy who's trying to lift everybody else, who's telling the coach, hey, we got it rolling. We're going to smack people around. You call a run, we're going to deliver for your ass. You got a chance to win football games. This is exactly the stuff I'm looking for with Hard Knocks. I apologize to Chris Ballard, Quentin Nelson, everybody involved with the front office who made Quentin Nelson the number 6 overall pick in 2018. I didn't know what the hell I was talking about. He is a special left guard, and he is a special human being. And we saw that last night on HBO on Hard Knocks. Jonathan Taylor has elevated his play this season to a point where he's being mentioned with Hall of Famers, right? For the second consecutive month, he's been named the AFC Offensive Player of the Month. Nobody in the history of Indianapolis Colts football, or Baltimore Colts football for that matter, has ever had that honor of being named the Offensive Player of the Month 2 consecutive months. The only other guy who's been named the AFC Offensive Player of the Month twice in the same season, the only other running back, Edgerrin James. The only others who have been named in the same season the Player of the Month, Robert Mathis was named the Defensive Player of the Month twice in the same year, Mike Vanderjagt twice in the same year. Let's hope that Jonathan Taylor's career winds up a whole lot more Robert Mathis and not so much Mike Vanderjagt. At any rate, here is how special he was this past month. He averaged over 2 touchdowns a game. He averaged 156.8 yards from scrimmage. He had 8 consecutive games, which tied an NFL record, with 100 scrimmage yards and a touchdown. And the only reason that streak was ended is that he didn't get another 3 yards against the Bucs. And that's Frank Reich's fault, not Quentin Nelson's. As we said, like I said, he's the first guy to do this since Adrian Peterson back in 2009. And that's just spectacular. Good for Jonathan Taylor, one of the really good guys. Look, we can be critical of the Colts, and we can be critical of kind of some of the softer aspects of Hard Knocks as we kind of get a peek behind the curtain. But I'll tell you this. That show is absolutely accurate in depicting these guys as outstanding human beings. They don't bring bad guys into that locker room. They just don't. Chris Ballard's very, very protective of guys who are Indianapolis Colts in culture and physicality being welcomed into their space and into their building. That's what they are. That's the Indianapolis Colts. And you know, before, like, you figure there are 65 guys in there, including the practice squad and other guys and whatnot. And so the injured guys. And so you're going to have a couple of, you know, gnarly apples, right? No, not with this group. You don't. I've been in that locker room. And while we're not around all the time, and maybe guys' behavior is a little bit different around the media, you know what? I've never been. I'll give you a great example. Okay, Darius Leonard hit his rookie year, his second year. We didn't get to go in there during the COVID year, and still not allowed. But when we were allowed, Darius Leonard, an all-pro linebacker, his first 2 years in the NFL, I think both years, certainly his rookie year. I remember that because both he and Quentin Nelson, the first rookies on the same team to be named to the all-pro team since Dick Butkus and Gale Sayers. At any rate, Darius Leonard was a media commodity, right? And me, hosting my little radio show on CBS Sports 1430 here in Indianapolis, I'd wait at the end. I'd try to give space to TV and to the print guys. I'm not going to nose my way to the front and, you know, get like a 3-minute one-on-one, because that's not what guys do in that locker room generally, not what the media does. It's kind of a scrum, so I would wait my turn. And I get up to the, finally get there where everybody was gone. I'd say, Darius, do you have any time for one more? He always did, and he was always as good with me as he was with anybody else. And that's the kind of guy Darius Leonard is, and the kind of guy all of these guys are. They're phenomenal. Kari Willis, hopefully, is able to return this week. Activated, he's practicing. They're going to see how he responds before they decide whether they're going to activate him. If he's back, that's a good thing for the Colts. They might want to wait because they got the bye week coming up, and let's face it, the Houston Texans are not very damn good. What are the odds, according to 538.com, that the Colts make the playoffs? Right now, 53%. If they win this weekend, and really it's a win, right? The line started at 9. I thought that was squirrely. It didn't seem high enough. Now it's gone to 10, maybe because of the illness and practices being called off, or yesterday's practice being called off for the Texans. I don't know. However, when they win this weekend, it jumps to 62%. The Titans, they got no game this weekend. But let's talk about what happens with the AFC South. And it's been a fait accompli, or at least thought that it was kind of a done deal, right? That the Titans were going to win the AFC South. Not so much. All right? If the Colts win this game coming up on Sunday, they've got the bye week, and then the following Saturday on December 18th, they beat the Patriots at Lucas Oil Stadium, and the Titans next weekend lose their game against the Jaguars, and I know that's a long shot, but they've lost to the Texans, so they're capable of doing it, and they've got injuries all over the place at any rate. If they lose that game, and then if they lose at Pittsburgh, I know that's a lot of stuff, right? That's the Colts going 2-0. That's the Titans going 0-2 with one of the games in Nashville against the Jaguars. All of a sudden, the Colts jump up to 42% likely to win the AFC South. Now, if the Titans beat the Jags, that percentage drops to 15%. So that's a huge game. The Colts, they want to win this game. If they win the next two, doesn't matter what the Titans do. I don't care if they win both games. They are 83% likely to go to the playoffs. So there you go. Colts, interesting team right now. A team that is really decidedly not interesting right now, and I hesitate talking about them, is the Indiana Pacers. The one interesting aspect of this team, the one guy that it seems like everybody kind of digs, is T.J. McConnell. T.J. McConnell is out, according to Rick Carlisle, for a while because he hurt his right wrist last night in the loss against the Atlanta Hawks. So he's out for a while. What's that mean? Does that mean 2 games, 5 games, 12 games? I don't know. I guess we'll find out as he gets x-rays and they do the MRI and they figure out what to do with that hand. All right. So without McConnell, do you really want to watch his team? This team has no charisma whatsoever. You watch this kind of because you feel responsible for watching it. the Pacers, they are not fun to watch. The Pacers, as an organization, and I hate to say this because I love those people. They are such good people. From the very top, whether it's Kevin Pritchard on the basketball side and Rick Fusen on the business side, all really, really good people. I like everybody, right, with the Pacers. But, man, are they not interesting? On the floor, off, right? What they do in the community, wonderful, great people. I love doing stuff with the Pacers. It's always really well organized. You feel like your time's not being wasted. You're helping out kids. You're doing all kinds of stuff. You're feeding people, feeding the hungry. They do wonderful work. But there's nothing like clingy. There's nothing about this team that makes you want to participate with them and enjoy it. Like the other night in front of that TV, I'm watching Indiana play Syracuse. And I'm right in front of the TV, right? I'm like here, like some kind of idiot, watching the TV, and I'm yelling at the TV. Yelling, "What are you doing?" at Race Thompson General. So anyway, I'm doing that. I haven't done that for a Pacers game in forever. Something needs to be done, and it's not a matter of the coach. You know, people are saying, I had a comment to the channel, and please, feel free to comment. Love the comments. I respond to them. I read them all. And while you're doing that, hit subscribe, punch like, ring the bell, all that stuff. But as I'm answering a comment, somebody wanted to know whether Carlisle was going to be spiked after this, right? No. He's making like $7 million a year. It's a multi-year contract. What is it, 6 years, something like that? It's a long time. It's not your typical Pacers NBA coach contract. With Nate Bjorkgren, it's a tiny window, 2 years, and minimal money. Now you've got Carlisle, big money, extended time period. They're not firing Rick Carlisle, number one, because he's a really good coach. Number two, because like I said, Herb Simon is not going to sign those checks to have Rick Carlisle drink pina coladas on the beach for 6 years because Malcolm Brogdon won't play for him. That's not going to happen. So what the Pacers' deal is if Carlisle can't compel them to compete, they're going to go find another roster or start swapping out parts. And that might not mean anything to these guys because let's face it, are they a part of this community? I know they do some stuff from time to time in the community, but do you feel like when Reggie Miller and Mark Jackson and the Davis guys, I'd see Antonio Davis at a Taco Bell up on 86th Street. I saw Dale Davis walking around Monument Circle. You'd see Reggie at the original Pancake House. Mark Jackson lived next door to the great Dr. Mike O'Neill, for God's sake, up there in Windermere. They were a part of the community. They had roots here. My son and Mark Jackson's son would go to the same babysitter from time to time. You felt like they were here with you. These guys, you ever said, maybe you have. Maybe you've run into Malcolm Brogdon and Domas Sabonis, Miles Turner. I don't know. I haven't. I haven't seen these guys. I don't know where they live. I'm guessing a lot of these guys have apartments downtown. They walk over to the St. Vincent Center. They walk over to Cambridge Field House. They're not here with us. We don't know who the hell we're rooting for God's sake. And they don't play compelling basketball. They have zero charisma. And when you watch the TV broadcast, and I feel so bad saying this because I really like Chris Denari as a broadcaster and a guy. I don't know Quinn Buckner really well, but when he was on CBS doing college basketball, I liked him a lot. What seeps into my head as I watch those guys is, do they even like each other? That's not what I should be thinking. I should be enjoying it. They should be enjoying each other and enjoying watching. I don't think that they do. I think that they pretend to, but that doesn't carry water for me. I know the difference. You know the difference. You can hear it. It's a tactile thing. You can feel it. I want more out of the Pacers. I want more out of the broadcast. I want more out of the team. I want to watch people who give a damn play with each other like they care for each other. Can we get there? Pacers. Please. But I love Hard Knocks, and I loved it last night. Quentin Nelson, unbelievable. You know, if Quentin Nelson came up to you and you're Frank Reich, and he's like, hey, coach, can we run the ball? If we get a stop, can we get a straight run? Yeah. Yeah, that'd be fine. I'd want to just give the guy a hug, right? Yeah, we'll run the ball. Tell me what you want, what you're feeling. Let's go, right? Tomorrow morning, breakfast with Kent. I can't wait. And hopefully the Texans didn't practice today. Hopefully they got more illnesses. Nothing serious. Nothing life-threatening. But if they don't get to practice, I'm good with that. I got no problem with it. The Colts have had their issues with injuries. Now it's somebody else's turn. No problems at all with that. At any rate, we'll see what happens this week. And I think the Colts run away with this game. They won the first time these two teams played, 31-3. I see a game much like that. They're not going to turn it over five times like the Titans did in their loss, right? That isn't going to happen. What the Colts are going to do is take care of business, and then we get a week off to kind of amp ourselves up for that game against the Patriots. I can't wait. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning about that and oh so much more on Friday. And then tomorrow afternoon, we're going to go out and talk to Ivan the Idol, see what he says about the weekend. Can Michigan win the Big Ten championship?